I am going to turn down our headphones in hopes that'll
make me talk louder.
It'll force us to talk louder. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. I'm Aaron Flores.
And I'm Armando Luna, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
Wow, that's very soothing. We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and the simpler living. And today, how I got the sprocket kicked out of the IPRC.
You actually read it. That's
totally
great. I didn't know what to put. So
that's a good one. It's not. I don't think it's totally true, but we'll never know.
You are the only. I will go on record to say you are the only guest that's been through the studio when we were at the IPRC that has got us shushed. Or I should say, you were the only guest that's been around when we got shushed.
Oh, there we go.
You maybe didn't get us shushed. Hmm.
Well, there was there was nobody there when we left.
That's true. We were there for a while. Did we ever tell that story? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Do you want to tell that story?
Sure, we can tell that story.
Go ahead.
Oh, the last and only time I was on the Sprocket Podcast, I wasn't totally familiar with what you're supposed to do, so right. I brought beer and some whiskey, and not knowing at that point that Aaron didn't consume alcohol, pretty much Brock and I finished it all.
It was just
so we were done with the broadcast.
We were done
with the podcast, and we just kept drinking and talking and drinking and talking, and that's when we got shushed. And sooner rather than later. No, later rather than sooner. It was about 10 o'clock. And
we were kind of already done. And
we were done at 8.
Yeah. we were done at 8. And it was like 10.
So that's not much of a story, but it was fun.
The one thing I remember is that afterwards, we tried to introduce some levity to the situation. And was like, hey, sorry,
With the concierge.
Yeah, with the concierge that was on duty at the time, and she just wasn't having it.
She was not.
She said something like, I gotta study.
Oh, is that what it was? I don't know. I was trying to remove myself from the situation at that point.
Well, you were out of the... You were out of there. And I remember I walked out, and you were out there, and you were just like, what the fuck? So Armando is with us today, and it's just you and I.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought today we could talk about bike fun stuff, specifically Pedalpalooza, because you are the one who has documented the most in photographs.
I don't know if I've documented the most. I think because I tag them, people see them. But,
maybe.
But I do like to document my rides.
Yes.
So I can remember them later on.
Do you fear maybe not, or being at a point in your life where you're unable to remember these things, and you want to be able to relive them in your waning years?
Oh, wow. No, I never thought about that. I also like to document.
You ever fear about losing your mind?
What? And I also like to document for people that aren't there that I know are interested in it. So I'm going to go right and start telling a story.
Please.
So at the Prince versus Bowie ride, or the Bowie versus Prince ride, whichever team you were on, I was on Team Prince. It was super fun.
You had a lot of good Prince.
Here's how I did that. We were gathering at the beginning, and everybody was showing up in these awesome outfits and costumes. And I would run up to them with my phone, and I would say, "Prince pose."
Oh yeah.
And they'd be like, "What? Prince pose?" And they're like, "Okay." And then they would do a pose, and some of them were actually Prince,
right?
themed poses and some were just poses.
I can't believe we didn't see you there.
Oh my gosh, it was so funny. But you got a flat tire. When did you get the flat?
It was like maybe 10 minutes after we took off.
There were there were so many people there.
Oh yeah, just the Prince section was as big as like the combined ride from last year.
Oh yeah, it was thousands.
It was wonderful though. I had such a good time.
So yes, I do like to document the rides, and I usually document them on Instagram.
Okay.
Instagram handle Dudeluna, Dudeluna, if you are interested.
Yeah. So how many rides did you go on this year?
I actually didn't do that many rides. I think I've only went around
six. This has been everybody's response.
Six rides, yeah.
Like, I haven't really went on that. Six is a lot, dude.
No, it's not. Not that many. I want to do way more than that.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
There might have been more.
Do you tend to, like, do your desires outpace your ability?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, I had so many plans. Even brought up the calendar just to kind of, like, relive some of these. Kickoff ride. Did you do that?
I did the kickoff ride.
I never do the kickoff ride.
Oh, man, that's one of the funnest rides.
I was even free this year.
That's always one of the funnest rides, I think.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting into the mood and lots of people. Good turnout.
Does it tend to be the biggest? Besides World Naked, of course, is the biggest.
Oh, I don't think so. I think probably Prince versus Boy was bigger. Loud and Lit was way bigger. Loud and Lit was insane. There were so many people.
One guy on Twitter posted a picture. He's like, I don't know what this is, but it's been going by my house for 20 minutes and still going. So I can't imagine like how big the ride was, like how many bikes had gone through.
Yeah, I don't know. There were a
Where'd
lot
you guys
of
meet this year?
For Loud and Lit?
Yeah.
At Irving Park. So right before then, I was trying to think of rides to do, and I actually wanted to do the Janet Jackson Madonna ride.
Oh, yeah.
And then I read the details of it, and like, dress up like Madonna or Miss Jackson if you're nasty. And I was like, oh, shoot. Oh, I'm not going to have time to get a costume for that.
How do you do it? Yeah.
Brandon, I'm spacing on his last name right now, but I will remember it later.
Okay.
Was hosting the CBGB ride.
Wait, Shelby?
Yes, thank you, sir.
Oh, okay.
So he was hosting the
Member of Team Sincerity,
yep,
by the way.
CBGB ride, and so I went on that one, which was awesome. That was a good ride, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was unable. I was working at that point.
So that ride met into the Loud and Lit ride.
Oh, okay.
So that was a fun day.
Are you an MMR person? Do you do
when I can? Have before. I just don't often get to
do it. I haven't done it in so long.
I should have done it last time, but I did not.
You didn't do it during the Pedalpalooza. I've never done the Pedalpalooza MMR.
I did the one last year. It was super fun.
Was it really crowded?
I wouldn't say really crowded. It was a good crowd. I mean, I don't have a lot to compare to because I haven't done too many of them. But it was a good size one, and still lots of music bikes, and it didn't end too far away for me to get back home.
Okay.
Because that's what you always wonder about. Where is this going to end, and how far is it going to be till I get back home?
Yeah, that's always the factor that I forget about. I'm like, oh, this is meeting like right down the street. That's great. Which usually means then it's going to end like somewhere way out in, you know.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm having a great time. 3 o'clock rolls around. Okay, I guess I better go to bed. Oh, I still got an hour to bike home.
Exactly.
Are you a Breakfast on the Bridger?
Yes, I am. I try to do it every month.
Because you're, do you take the Tillicum across now?
I usually just take the Tillicum, but on Breakfast on the Bridge, I try to hit Steele and Tillicum.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You like take them both.
I say hi to everybody and see what they have to offer. I don't often get to do both, but at least one of them.
Okay. And then, so, because during Pedalpalooza, it's every Friday.
It's every Friday. And I missed two of them, so I only got to do half.
Oh, really?
Of them. Yeah.
You just weren't working that day?
Well, when I had an appointment and didn't go to work in the morning. Oh. And I don't remember what happened on the other one. I think maybe I didn't work that day or something.
Okay.
Who knows?
Or let's talk about rides, because you said you didn't go on as many. Oh.
Yeah, but pre-Pedalpalooza, I volunteered to work at the Pedalpalooza pennant party.
Okay.
Where you actually make the pennants.
Oh, right.
That was really fun. Lori Sills, was her name. I think I'm getting that right. Hosted it at her house, and you know, we did the silk screen and paint, and that was super fun. Although it was a crappy day, it stormed a day. That was the day it stormed and hailed on Saturday. Right. And so it was in May at some point, and so we didn't get a chance to hang them outside. So we were like, had the hair dryers trying to dry them. And
oh, snap.
Yeah.
So. Oh. Okay, next really year I'm bringing my heat gun.
There you go.
Yes. We'll get those done faster.
Or it could be sunny. That would be just as fine.
And, yeah,
but that was fun. I did, yeah. And so I got to get, you know, if you help, you get one. So I got one, although someone, I think, removed it from my bike at the Loud and Lit ride.
Bastards.
I know. It was my own fault. I should have known better.
You think, well, it was probably attached pretty well. Like I was going to say, do you think it was removed or did it fall off?
Yeah, it was zip tied to the post. It's okay. One of those bamboo posts and I had a zip tie. So, I mean, you had to really tug on that to get it off. Okay. So.
Bastards. Come on, man. Grilled by bike, I ran into you there.
Yep. Like doing that. That's a fun ride. I've taken
and
my
you had
kids.
Your kids with that
yep,
one.
A couple yes. times they've come with me. The first time I brought my son last year, we were at Lorehurst and started there.
Uh-huh.
And he's 11 now, so he was only 10 last year. And I think he was a little hesitant because there were a lot of people
that
were enjoying the smoke.
Okay.
And I think that sort of put him off. He wasn't too happy about that.
Okay.
So
okay.
He's got pretty high morals right now.
Right on.
We'll have to work at that.
Don't do drugs, kids. There's my PSA. How many hours does that count? How many hours of public service does that count as? Like, you know, for my parole officer, I need to write that down.
It depends how many people you're reaching.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's always one thing. Whenever I see those, like, yeah, PSAs on TV where, like, the stars are like, you know,
oh, right.
Don't drop out of school because reading is fun.
It's funny that you said it because I always think about.
Like, the first thing I think is, like, oh, Rob Lowe was drinking again.
I always think about that where I work. I'm not going to mention it right now, but you can probably know our guests or look it up.
I think we mentioned it the first time
we did. We have a lot of volunteers that work there, and I always tell my other coworkers, oh, they're doing their parole hours.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
That's not true. I'm just totally making it up. Disclaimer.
There are a few. I worked at a tree sale, a Christmas tree sale.
Okay.
And we have volunteers come in, and we generally have a pretty strict level or pretty strict filtering process.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a year that we were like really short, and we're like, okay, we will take any volunteers from any volunteer organization basically. And there was a couple of people coming through like, well, I need my hours. All right, man, that's cool.
But was your tree sale like a fundraiser thing for a group? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. For my old job.
Oh, yeah. That's a tough line right there.
It really was. And I think that some people may have got some heat from that one that year. So, yeah, we met at Grill by Bike, but then you still managed to do the Prince Bowie.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So at what point did you take off? Because I didn't even.
I left right after Irving because they went north.
Oh, okay.
And so that ride ended on the beach.
Yes.
So,
yes. Brock and Adele were there all night.
Which was awesome. Riding. It looked awesome, but I couldn't miss out on the last Prince Bowie.
No, I couldn't either.
Although I lost them. I lost the ride.
You lost the Prince Bowie ride?
We did.
Oh,
tell
me about
it. We stopped at.
Well, who'd you go with?
I don't know.
Thousands. You didn't bring your kids?
No, I did not bring my kids. Okay. They did not want to attend. I would have brought them. There were other children there. It was could have been a family ride. We stopped at the Collaborative Life Sciences building at the bottom of the west side of Tillicum and had a dance party there. It was awesome. And then we were leaving, and I was one of the last ones to leave, and we were going back over to the east side on the Tillicum. And by the time we got over the bridge and down at the bottom, we actually lost. Everybody goes so fast because you're going down the other side. We lost where people were going.
Oh.
I didn't see which way they went. And so we knew generally
That's
where they were
interesting.
Going. And I was with a group of people, and we just started guessing, and then, no, we lost them. And I didn't know at the time that they were actually posting where they were on Facebook. So
that was about the time that we, Anna and I, finally met up with the ride.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was, I mean.
Yeah, so I got by the Aladdin theater and realized I wasn't going to find them. And so I just turned around and rode home from there.
Oh.
But it was after midnight at that point. So it was probably better.
It was a good time to go. We were out. I think we didn't make it home until 3 o'clock that night.
Okay. I got home at 1, I think.
You were dead tired, and Anna had to go to work the next day.
Yeah, that's the bummer about the rides, when you have to work the next day.
Oh, gosh. She doesn't take days off, man. She's a hard worker.
Yeah, I don't take them off either. Because the week rides, anyway.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't.
I just show up.
I wouldn't take. I'm lucky enough now to have a job that gives me weekends off. Tell me a little bit about, like, taking your kids on rides. Because a lot of the rides are, like, for lack of a better phrase, a lot of them are for adult kids.
Right. And they're adult.
And they'll mention,
you know, if it's adults only, things
right,
like that.
Right, most times.
But it's...
But, like, you know, you mentioned last year your kid wasn't very comfortable with the smoking going on.
That's correct. It's pretty good. I usually tell them what to expect. They're experienced riders. Even my daughter's 14, my son's 11. They've been through bike camp. They've ridden with us. I always, you know, my daughter would yell, "Take the lane," you know, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So they're very experienced. And my son did a great job on the first girl by bike ride, riding in a big crowd. Because, you know, you get in those big crowds with a lot of people, and they don't always know how to ride.
Sure, sure. You got to watch out for the other bikes as much as you got to, like,
exactly,
make sure you're riding well. Yeah.
And especially on girl by bike when they have the, you know, charcoal or flame shooting out, things like that.
Right.
But they're pretty comfortable riding in the street and riding in big groups, so it goes pretty well. I usually let them know what to expect, let them know where we're going, how long it's going to be, how far we might have to ride, things like that. Those are the things they want to know.
This is all stuff you let them know before even going on.
And I usually let them know that if I'm asking them, I'm going to go on this ride. This is what it's going to be like. This is how far we're going to ride, probably. Things like that. So they can decide whether or not
they want to go or just play Pokemon Go.
Yes, they can decide that.
That has hit big, by the way.
It has hit big.
Oh, my gosh. My roommates are way into it. My adult roommates.
Yes, my son and I did it yesterday. He was really interested in it, so we did. And it was actually pretty fun. We saw a lot of adults doing it. Actually, we saw one other child and probably 15 adults out and about Pokemon Go.
That's not something you were into when you were growing up, though. Because, like, I was too old for Pokemon.
No.
Yeah.
That wasn't around when I was growing up.
Nope. Same here.
We were just riding. We just rode our bikes. I can tell you the rides I didn't go on. I can tell you the rides I didn't go on that I wanted to go on. I always wanted to go on, which I haven't done yet, is the...
Could maybe full screen this, by the way.
I don't think that's going to help.
Nope.
Oh, I didn't do the Ding Ding ride this year.
Oh, have you done it in previous years?
I've done it. I try to do it every year. It's such a fun ride. Although this year I heard it was just pouring.
Yeah.
And everybody just got super soaked. The Clunkers ride. I think that's the one I'm looking for. Where you ride your Clunker bike up to Piddock Mansion.
Oh, okay. Different than the... Because there's the Tom Waits Broken Bicycle ride.
No, this was I can't see it. Clunkers, I thought it was. Oop, there we go. I can get my phone out too, I guess. Oh, I didn't see this Vancouver Lake ride. That would have been a good one.
You did the Vancouver Lake ride, like not that one, but you've rode to Vancouver Lake with us.
With the president's?
Yeah, that was
I know.
Where we did
That's why I just said it would have been a good ride. That was fun. I think that's when I met Brandon.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would make sense. He met us up in Vancouver when, was it on our way back?
I believe it was on our way back.
Yes. So the Clunkers ride was ride up to Piddock. And
you have to have a Clunker bike, and it has to be at least 40 pounds.
Oh, you're talking about the heavy bike hill climb.
Yeah, heavy hill climb, is that what it's called?
Yes.
I call it the Clunker ride.
That was on a Sunday, wasn't it?
Yes, I believe it was.
I remember seeing that because that's one that goes by every year that I want to do and never do.
Heavy hill climb. I see it on this 12th.
Ride your heavy ass bike up a steep ass hill. Oh, it's not. In previous years, it's been Sean Granton leading it. This year, it wasn't, huh?
Oh, there was another gentleman that I met that was leading it 1 year. Or I don't know if he was leading it, but he invited me on it.
Okay.
I can't remember his name right now. I thought it was Patrick. I think it was the Patrick that's listed here. But it was funny because they meet at, Dawson Park?
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, they're meeting at Dawson Park. I thought it was up a big hill. And then I didn't know they rode from Dawson to...
All the way up to Piddick. It's a few miles.
That's a fun place to start.
Leah Benson did that 1 year on a tandem.
Oh, nice.
Without a stoker.
Oh, there you go.
So she just rode this tandem all by herself. She had a stoker lined up, but that stoker flaked out on the last minute. Yeah, Loudon Lit was... How long did you stick with that one?
Till we lost them. About midnight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right after they went over to Tillicum.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Prince and Bowie is when you lost, is who you got lost.
Oh, no. Why I document them, because I get them confused.
That's right. Okay, well, let's go back. So,
all right, Loudon Lit.
Prince and Bowie, how long were you on that ride?
That was midnight.
Midnight.
Till we crossed the Tillicum and I lost them.
Wait.
And so Loudon Lit was...
But Loudon Lit, when did you lose them then?
Let's see. We went... Oh, you know what? I think I left after... I think I might have left after Lloyd.
Okay.
Because I can't remember anything after that.
And that was when you didn't bring your kids on, right?
I did not bring my children. Okay.
And then... So let's talk a little bit about, like... family dynamic.
Okay.
And you know, you like to go on these rides. How do you and the family like decide?
Oh, that's a good one.
Whether this is like, cuz I'm sure it's not like you're going to your lovely wife and saying, "Lovely wife, I'm doing this ride," and she's like all for it without any question.
Oh, she doesn't have a problem with that.
It's not necessarily problem per se.
You
know,
so,
maybe other things might be going on or, you know.
So it's usually with my children. I don't want to say I have to get their permission, but they know it's Petapalooza. They know I like to do the ride.
Dad's checked they out know, for the month.
Exactly. It's June. Petapalooza comes first. And I tell them that, you know, I tell them that in May. And it was interesting this year because my daughter graduated from eighth grade. Moving into high school, and she said something about the graduation ceremony at school and things like that. I'm like, what day is it?
Is this going to interfere with the
Petapalooza? Dude, that's the Cully Bar Crawl ride. You're going to make me miss the Cully Bar Crawl ride. So things like that happen. And I mean, she knows I'm joking, but I really did want to do that ride. There's another ride too that night that I wanted to do. So
she graduated. The ceremonies was on the 14th.
Is that what? Yeah, Flag Day Tuesday. Yep. So there, you know. So that. So when I talked about earlier, I didn't get to do as many as I wanted to. Her graduating. Oh my gosh, it takes up so much time with all the different activities and things that happen.
Right?
It's just eighth grade, but it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Really? Did you do it up for her? Did you guys?
Like, we sort of did it up for her. Yeah. We had events, and you know. Got her gifts, and she did fine, and she's an awesome student, and it went really well. Yeah. So,
are you guys going to do a quinceañera for her?
I doubt it. I don't think so.
No,
I don't think she would really be into that.
Oh no,
I think she knows what it is. I think the only part she enjoyed when I explained that to her what that was about was the dollar dance.
Dollar dance?
The dollar dance.
Oh, we didn't do dollar dance.
You didn't do the dollar dance?
No, my niece had a quinceañera last... Was it? Yeah, it was just last June.
Yeah.
And or last July it was. And
I mean, you'd want to talk about patriarchal.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So they, you know, you pay a dollar and you pin it on their dress and dance with them. And then if somebody else comes out, and then she's just covered.
Right.
Covered in
dollars.
At least ones. Sometimes people put more on there.
Of course.
Oh my gosh, it's the worst.
No, that was like a wedding thing when I was growing up.
Yeah,
that's what you did to like dance with
too.
The bride.
Yeah, I think they did it at Quinceañeras where I grew up.
Okay.
Too. I believe.
But there's like so many similarities between quinceañeras and like weddings.
Well, you're giving your daughter away to be married. Basically, that's what it is.
Right, right. That's traditionally what it was.
Yeah, that's the part she's not into. So
she's like, Dad, you can't give me away to nobody.
No, she's not like that at all. Which is great. I'm not like that either. So,
so back to you, Petalpalooza. Any like major wipeouts this year?
Oh, yeah, I had one. What ride was that? Oh, no, that was a Thursday night ride.
Oh.
Riding up to the parking garage on top of Fred Meyer. I was riding next to someone. I'm like, I'm gonna go straight because I wanted to take a photo.
Okay.
And he's like, and I'm like, I'm going to go straight. And then I pretty much ran right into the curb right before the wall. And I fell.
No.
And just a little owie on my shin.
I heard something like Nathan Jones's fork. Mm. Were you there for that?
Yes. We couldn't understand what happened. We were on the ride, and we were getting ready to turn the corner just off of 7th, I think. And all of a sudden, everybody stopped, and a big crowd, and we heard somebody crashed. But it turned out it was Nathan, and his fork snapped or broke or something.
Yeah.
And his eye was bleeding, and it was really weird because we were trying to figure out what was happening. And I swear it was within 3 minutes. No longer than 3 minutes, an ambulance showed up.
Wow.
And so I thought we had run into something that had already happened. And somebody called the ambulance like, 15 minutes ago. I still don't understand how all that happened. And then somebody said it was Nathan, and they were trying to get his bike back somewhere. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I couldn't believe it. So that was weird. I never did see him. I saw him on the ground, but I couldn't tell it was him.
Yeah, I only heard it like through the grapevine.
I only heard through the grapevine, too, when I was there.
And you were there.
It was a good ride.
Yeah.
Other than that.
That was the only... So, when was that? Well, that happened early on in the month, right?
I don't even know if that was Petalpalooza.
Okay, it might have been pre-Petalpalooza,
I think it was
right?
The week before. It might have been the birthday ride.
Okay. Then... I want to say the 23rd, I think it was, I did my first Thursday night, well, second Thursday night ride.
Did I see you?
I didn't see you at all. It was when the metal ride met up with us. So I didn't see you on that ride.
I was on that ride.
For real?
Yeah, and we met up with the Lemmy ride, right? That one?
No.
Was that Thursday night ride?
That wasn't Lemmy, was it?
I don't know.
No. There was a lot of metal going on.
I thought it was the Lemmy
ride. They came and met us, though.
Yeah, Lemmy is God ride. Yeah, yeah, that was it. We met at Irving, right?
No. That was the week after.
Okay.
That was the 30th.
Oh, okay.
This is why we document.
No, I did not do the Thursday night ride on the 23rd.
Right.
I had
a
class I had to attend.
Class for work?
No.
Oh, I will pursue it no further.
I'm okay with saying it, but I don't think I'm going to say it.
That's fine. That's totally fine.
It's not a DUI class, anybody who's listening.
I was going to leave it up to mystery.
That's what everybody's saying. I was going to hear DUI class.
Oh,
no,
did
no,
you
no.
hear Dude Luna got a DUI?
Oh, the Dude Luna story. I should tell that story.
I think you told it last time you were here. I mean, you can tell it again. I don't care.
I'm not going to say it again.
I was going to mention, though, that was the Thursday where it really... Oh, yeah, because it was the Ding Ding ride as well.
Oh, the what? Yeah, the rain.
Yeah, and so I pulled down underneath the Hawthorne Bridge, and that's where the metal ride was meeting up, and I was hanging out with a couple of guys, and I'm like, well, actually, I'm going to go on the Thursday night ride. I was just coming down here because it was, like, pouring out and, like, trying to seek shelter. And then the rain subsided. I'm like, okay, I'll see you guys later. And then, like, 10 minutes later, they're, like, rolling up.
Wait, click on that. I want to see who did the pedal metal.
Oh, Sisfail. Okay, that's there we right. go. Yeah, he was one of the guys I talked to.
Yeah, I saw some photos from that.
It was cool. Yeah, it was a good time.
Cool.
Here's an interesting question. I might end up having to edit this part out.
Okay.
There is a dude who came to the ride with a clipboard.
It's a petition guy?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't ran into them, but I saw some. So well, I know you're not on Facebook, but they post on Facebook for the Thursday night ride. And so there's a lot of chatter on there about that.
Okay.
And
well, tell me about this, because apparently, so this guy came with a petition, getting people's signatures and whatnot, and a certain somebody, I won't name his name again. I might end up taking this whole thing out anyways, but a certain somebody was like, he comes every time. He is very vague about what his petition is, and I just twice have slapped the clipboard out of his hand and told him to go away, and he still keeps showing up.
So I read some people had some issues with him. I read somebody was kept their resolve and had an actual conversation with him and told him how that wasn't cool. And,
yeah, okay.
And then I also heard how he was really rude back to some of the other people, so... I don't know. That's not what it's about. It's not about signing petitions on Thursday.
Well, right. And, you know, it's interesting because there was this woman that came up to the Grill by Bike ride when we were hanging out in Irving. Mm-hmm. And, like, the petition that she wanted people to sign was, like, we need a bike lane on 7th. Totally great. And I was totally behind it. But Eric was like, I don't disagree with what you're – with
right,
the exactly. mission. But –
She's co-opting the ride.
Right. I want to keep this about Grilled by Bike. I don't want to make this a political thing. And, like, he was very apologetic. And I think the woman still didn't quite get – and I was actually like, yeah, we should, like, announce it to everybody. Let's do this. And then Eric was like, well, hang on a second here. And I totally saw his point after he explained it. But yeah, it is a weird...
You know, it's interesting because it's, you know, you get a bunch of cyclists. Those are good audiences for a certain type of crowd that you, that might agree with what you, your political...
Sure. I mean, especially this lady who was like, I want a bike lane on 7th right here, right where you guys are partying.
Yeah, you know? I think I actually ran into her when I was riding on 7th and she asked me if I signed it already. And I had already, so... But that wasn't even part of a ride. I think I was just riding on 7th.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about those things?
A big sigh. I don't know. I can understand it. I guess it gets to a point. It's funny. There was some conversation today on Twitter about Black Lives Matter and mm-hmm. cyclists and commuters and... You know, where that political line is, where you start getting involved or not getting involved. And so for myself,
Well, and there's plenty protest type rides
exactly.
and advocacy.
Right. And technically, we're going to get bike ride. It's a protest ride. I doubt that, you know, 9,000 of those people understand that. But I don't know. It's a tough line, you know. I was thinking about that today. Somebody was complaining about, well, I don't want to say they were complaining. There was talk about half my Twitter feed is BLM, half my Twitter feed is Pokemon Go, you know.
I think there's room for both.
Implying that, you know, one was important and one was not, which, you know. But it's difficult for my, I don't want to say it's difficult. Being a person of color and... You probably understand this. This is stuff that we have dealt with all of our lives.
Right.
And so when it comes out in Twitter, it's like, oh, these people are playing Pokemon Go. You know, it sort of makes me feel bad. Like, oh, you know, yeah, you're right. I should be doing more. But it's not like I haven't already been doing lots.
Right. Well, here's the thing.
You know, it gets weird.
Yeah. You grew up around here, right?
No, I grew up in Illinois.
Oh, okay.
It's interesting. I grew up in a neighborhood with probably 95% black people.
Okay.
And
so you and I had very different upbringings. Okay. I grew up in a rural town of Michigan with 95% white people.
All right.
Yeah, that's 98%.
Well, the city itself probably was probably not that, but my neighborhood was.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I didn't have a Caucasian friend.
My neighborhood was cornfields.
Oh, I didn't have a Caucasian friend until I was in sixth grade or so.
Wow. That's, yeah, that's, it's mind blowing to me. Like, honestly.
You know, the city itself, you know, we were probably still 10% minority in the city, sure, but in my but neighborhood. Where you were, yeah.
Right on. I don't know. Yeah. Well, let's go back. Like, do you feel some pressure? I don't know. Being a person of color, being a person of color on a bike, do you feel like a little bit of pressure to, I don't know, like be a banner holder? Here in the city?
No, I don't feel that way.
Okay.
I ride, I guess when I'm on my bike, I ride my style, you know, and so this starts to get into thing. Like, I don't ride with a helmet anymore unless I'm biking. So like commuting, I don't ride with a helmet. Yeah. And then I hear a lot from people, where's your helmet? And, you know, I don't want to say it's a political statement, but, you know, probably it partly is, you know, you ride the way you ride and the way you feel safe. The way I ride, I feel safe. I take routes that I don't feel like I'm going to crash, right. Like I'm going to get hit by another car or hit by a car or anything like that. You know, my routes are really safe. I've got it down. I'm not that concerned about it. I don't like when people say, where's your helmet? I'm like, you know what? I'll answer that question as long as you can tell me that you drive under the speed limit all the time.
There you go. Yeah.
And it's like, that just stops them.
I just go back and say, where's your helmet? You're more likely to get a head injury than me.
You know, not even that though, but it's like, you're putting the onus on me for my own safety. The onus isn't on me. It's on you. You're the driver, you know?
Yeah.
The onus is on you for pedestrians and anybody else not in a car. You need to be the one looking out for them.
Right. Here's the thing is there is a certain level of, car supremacy that or auto supremacy
like that
mirrors well because here's where I'm probably gonna lose like half my audience here. There's a certain level of auto supremacy that mirrors the subtle white supremacy that is built into our society.
That is correct. The privilege.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. And I use white supremacy as it's defined. Mm-hmm. a white majority that is holding all the control. Holding all the power. That is supreme. Not, and this is where like people like will really get offended by that word. I'm using it correctly and I'm using it for what it is. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people will associate that with like white supremacy, white supremacist.
Correct.
No. Just because you are benefiting from the white supremacy of the system doesn't mean that you are a white supremacist. However, by continuing defending said system, you might be borderline on the white supremacy.
And I wouldn't even say defending the system, but not making any movement to change the system.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
And that's where, and you know, I hear a lot of that from people. They, you know, what can we do to change the system? Well, you say something, you act a different way, you do things, you know. And in Portland, you know, even in Portland, it's like, you know, how many people of color are your friends? You know, it's not really about that.
Well, no, it isn't. But, I mean, yes and no.
Well, it can't be
one or the other. Like, just by having friends of color doesn't, like, excuse my own ignorance.
That's correct.
You know.
That's correct.
And just having, or just like, you know, being, somewhat educated and a quote unquote white ally doesn't excuse me from not befriending people that are not like me, you know? This is where we're getting a little muddy here, but
you know, it's funny cause I was okay talking about all this until you said a white ally. I'm like, oh man, now it's getting heavy.
Now it's getting heavy. Well, but here's the thing is there's a lot of well-meaning, really, really well-learned and well-attentive white people who know a lot and like, honestly, like have a really good heart. And I might even include me a little bit in this, in this group.
Yeah, I'm totally right on that edge there.
Other than the fact that, like, you know, my tan doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. you know, I think I do fit a little bit into this category of like, well, you know, yes, I'm concerned. Yes, I am learned, but how many steps have I taken to get out of my comfort zone? How many steps have I taken to really know the story at the ground level?
Right.
And how to do that, you know, in a way that is, doesn't, I don't know, doesn't sound condescending. Again,
oh,
that,
it's super hard to do.
Right.
Well,
and that's a symptom or a side effect of our white supremacist system.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
And so here's the thing. A lot of what I'm saying is mirroring an episode of Why Isn't Anyone Talking About This? So if you want
more
articulate form of this argument, go listen to Why Isn't Anyone Talking About This?
Yeah, that might be above me.
then I might be making a little bit of sense to you guys. Or yeah. You'll still be pissed at me, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, Steph is awesome. She'll write that stuff, and you know, I'll read stuff that she writes or hear what she says, and it's just like, I can't. My mind just doesn't go there to be able to speak like that.
Oh no, me neither.
She does such a good job.
Well, let's get back a little bit to Petalpalooza after all the heavy stuff. Let's lighten the load a little bit. Let's talk about the ride you regretted going on.
Oh.
Do you have
no,
one?
No way.
I don't think so. I'm like stirring up controversy where none exists.
Regretted going on. No, I don't think so. Although I think about all these rides and people are like, what's Petalpalooza? You know, explain it to them. You try to tell them about it. And I think it was...
I find it weird that I'm still explaining Petalpalooza to people in Portland.
Oh, dude, it's so funny. They don't know that stuff. People.
How long have you been here? You know,
I moved
but
here.
It's still like,
yeah. I think it was.
Or is there a ride?
Was it Jonathan Moss that posted a few years ago? He was going to do a basketball ride.
Yes.
And that only one other person showed up.
Yes.
I was like, that's incredible to me. Just one other person. But you know, it's sort of, I guess it was sort of, you never hear those stories.
Right.
So you never hear from the ride leaders if nobody showed up or only one or two people showed up. You know, unless you're on that ride, you don't hear that.
Right.
So that's that's why I like to document the rides.
How about a ride that you regret not going on?
Oh, tons of them, dude. The MMR.
Yeah.
Petalpalooza MMR. Oh, I can just go up and down the page.
Here. I will tell you a ride that I regret you not being on. The Guthrie ride.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That's a weird dynamic. It's funny. Guthrie Stroud leads the ride.
Mm-hmm.
We go up into Vancouver. We go up the I-5 bridge, kind of follow along the river there,
mm-hmm.
and then come down the 205 bridge. we take a break somewhere at the halfway point. And it's a really cool, chill ride. It's 10 miles, so that sometimes turns people off.
Because that's
but every
short
year,
or long? I don't get that.
It's considered long by Petalpalooza standards.
Oh, really? 10 miles?
10 miles?
Oh, I don't.
How long? How long? Like, not time wise, but how long was the route for? Like, you know, I don't know. Prince Bowie. It was like 5 miles from its start.
Oh,
point.
It was. Oh, I don't know.
I mean, if you took a direct route,
you had to get
it's like
back.
5 miles. You know, it may have been a little bit more, but not by much.
Huh.
It takes longer because there's like a ton of people.
I think the CBGB ride might have been 8 miles. I don't know. We just sort of
wandered
around.
Well, Brandon Shelby rode it, yes.
I'd have to look it up. It's funny. So I use the Ride Report.
Okay.
So if you don't use that.
I have no idea what this is.
It is an app. It tracks your movements.
But here's the thing about the Guthrie ride is, it's really cool. It's super chill. But every year, it seems like... it's only young people going on this ride.
Dude, all these rides are young people.
So, like, every year I feel like I'm getting older and older and older. But that's the one that I make sure never to miss every year.
I'll have to do it next year.
You should do it next year. We gotta bring the average age up.
Well, because, you know, I see Guthrie and, you know what, so the older people, you know what
Woody
you think
Guthrie.
Of. Woody or Arlo, either
or
one.
Or Arlo.
So I'm like, I don't want to hear that music. That's the first thing I think of. I don't want to hear that music.
I only know Alice's Restaurant. Even then, like, not in its entirety, of course. Did you do the Pedalpalooza Awards?
I did.
How was that?
It was super fun.
Was it?
So we met at Woodlawn Park, and I got there just in time for the awards, and it was combined with Grow My Bike, and they announced the awards, and Carl was one of the announcers. I think it might have been his. I think he might have arranged that ride, and Carl Larson.
Yeah, I think he was part of that in some way.
And then they announced some of the winners, and then because you voted online. I don't know if you voted.
I did not.
It was like a Google document.
I thought it was like on Facebook. And
no,
so
it was a Google document. Clicked on and you filled it. And there was a bunch of things. You didn't have to answer them if you didn't know or want to. And then after that, we left and rode out to, what did they call it? Hayden Isle, I think that's what they called it. So out there.
Jensen Beach?
Like Jensen Beach.
Okay.
You cross the I-5
you get onto Hayden Island,
you get on Jensen Beach. And you go past that mall thing, and you just ride down that road to the ends.
Yep, I've been there.
Yeah, and then you go through the fence, and they actually remove some of the fencing so we can get through easier, which was awesome. But I can't imagine how those Grove bikes got through there, all those big bikes. And then we went up to the beach, and we were across the river from Vancouver where the grain elevator things were. And you could see fireworks up and down the river in Vancouver. So, yeah, it was pretty fun.
Anyone of note with awards? Obviously, I didn't get one.
Yes, who won?
Unless it's still in the mail. Anyways.
I'd have to check my Instagram. I can't remember.
I was really banking for Maria, best costume.
Oh, man. So this is funny. Maria Shore won for the wettest ride because she did her swimming pool ride, the wet ride, where you ride around to different swimming pools. So she won for that. And
I would contest that with anybody who rode on Thursday the 23rd. Yeah. especially at about 6-7 o'clock.
That's Gerald. When it really Gerald, do you know Gerald? I can't remember. I don't know his last name.
Gerald Fittipaldi.
I think maybe he won the newcomer award.
Yeah.
So he won the newcomer award.
Nice. Congratulations. He's probably listening to this right now. Congratulations.
Who else won?
I run into him all over the place now.
I know, I do too. Well, he's been coming on the
ever since he's been
Rides.
On the show. Yeah, ever since he's been on the show, he's
that's awesome.
Well, he was the one that came up with the idea of the pollen ride.
Oh, okay. I didn't go.
Yeah,
on the
Brock
ride.
Did the routing. I think. Okay, but Gerald did. Nice. Gerald was the impetus.
That's hilarious.
For that. Yeah.
Who else won an award? Oh, I met Daryl, who took honors for the Betty ride. Which was the all women ride, I think.
Okay.
And trying to think who else was there. I don't know. I'd have to look at my feed.
That's all right.
But it was pretty fun, and they gave a special award to Carl because he's leaving.
He's been leaving for a year now.
So now the next the 24th.
He's got an actual date.
Well, it's his going away party on Sunday Parkways because it's on. It goes by his house, so that's his going away party.
Now I feel bad.
Yeah, so stop by that if you do Sunday Parkways.
I will. Let's all give Carl a good send off this Sunday.
It will be fun.
Sunday the 24th.
I think it's the 24th. It's Northeast, the Northeast Sunday Parkways, because he lives on. I think he lives on Going. Do you do the? Do you ever go up to the short track racing at PIR? I haven't done that yet.
No. I don't have a bike that would do that.
Well, I don't mean to race. I just mean
to watch.
Go and check it out.
I guess I could watch.
I don't want to race.
It would be the 24th. It's just not listed.
Okay.
That's interesting. Check this out. Lewis Carroll versus H.P. Lovecraft Magic Ride. Look at all these rides going after Pedalpalooza.
After Palooza, dude.
After fucking Palooza. I gotta get my ride organized. Did I tell you about this ride?
No.
This has been inspired by all the Pedalpalooza rides I've done this year.
Okay.
And it's called the Flat Tire Ride.
Oh, I haven't heard this.
Because I've got a flat at just about every ride I've done.
Seriously?
This year. Yeah. Well, we flatted out at Prince Bowie. Almost missed that. I had to get...
That was on a tandem though, right?
It was a long tail.
Oh, okay.
I had to leave the solstice ride at 1:30, 2 o'clock, out in the middle of freaking Marine Drive, because I flatted out and I I couldn't patch the tube. That one was the worst. But because of this, it's made me think of this ride. And that is, you ride somewhere, you flat out one of your wheels or one of your tires, walk a few blocks with it flat.
Okay.
And then you change your tire or change your flat.
Uh-huh.
And then you finish the ride. So it's like
flat out on purpose?
Yes. Yes.
So what if you just let the air out?
Well, that's what I mean. Oh, okay. Like, yeah, please don't like stick a knife in your tires or anything. Those things that are expensive.
Got it. Yes.
But yeah, so it's like part bike ride, part tutorial.
Oh, that'd be a good one. If somebody actually changed a tube, you know, that'd be good.
Right, right. Or if you will, you could patch. And if you don't know how, this might be a good opportunity to do so.
That would be good. That's a nice
Now ride. I've got to set a date.
So here's the ride I always wanted to do. I actually don't want to do it. I don't want to lead. Everybody asks, are you leading a ride? I don't want to lead a ride. I want to have fun.
I never like leading rides.
I don't want the responsibility. Yeah. So eventually, someday I will. But this is the ride that I think would be good. It's like the every bike ride. So everybody brings their bike to the ride. But you want to have different bikes. So like I've never ridden a tall bike. I want to ride a tall bike. So somebody comes with a tall bike and then people can take turns riding the tall bike. Or I've never ridden Metrofeeds. I want to ride a Metrofeeds. So somebody brings a Metrofeeds. You know, I've never ridden
I've
never ridden a swing bike. You know, bring your swing bike.
It's part bike ride, part demo.
Yeah, part bike ride, part demo. You know, it could be in one place. It could be like a grill by bike thing, you know, where everybody's just hanging out.
Right.
When I thought of this, I actually asked Spinlister. I'm like, you should have this. They should sponsor this ride.
Sure.
You should do this ride because then you can get people to sign up for Spinlister. You can have people sign up their bikes to be rented on Spinlister. And then once they do that, their bikes are actually covered under whatever Spinlister covers you when you rent your bike out on them.
Interesting.
So, you know, people will actually bring it back and not just take off with it. But, you know, it's an official thing. And, I mentioned that to them one time on a Sunday Parkways, but I don't think it was the actual managers or owners or whatever.
You got to take it up the chain.
You got to take it up the chain. Right. So they were like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. But, you know, I don't think it went any further than that. But that would be so fun because whatever kind of bike, you know. And then you could ride bikes like, you know, I really want to try, because I know there's people that haven't ridden a road bike. And they want to see what riding a road bike really is like.
That is a good point. Like, you never really think, you know, I don't know. I've ridden basically a road bike all of my biking career. I've ridden, like, various other bikes, mm-hmm. you know, once or twice kind of thing. But you don't really think about the different dynamic it takes to ride the
different styles. Right, and if enough people come and show up, then they can ride a small frame, a medium frame, a large frame, an extra large frame, or, you know, all those different types of things that you need. Because then you need to know, is a medium frame going to fit me? Do I need to drop down one size? Things like that. So
I'll bring my 24-inch wheeled bike.
There you go. And you don't have the pressure of like going to a bike store and doing a demo ride and all that stuff.
So not to say going to a bike store is bad.
Not bad if you're wanting to buy or purchase a bicycle,
right. But if you're just looking to try, it does feel like I'm just going to waste your time, sir.
I'm just going to waste Mr. Minimum Wage Salesperson.
Yeah, I just want to know what this feels like to ride.
I'm not really going to buy it,
although I know of at least one shop that would love that.
You know, and I know I'm not going to buy this bike. But. I want to ride this carbon frame.
But, yeah. But there's like, I know like, maybe I shouldn't put this on them too much, but like Clever loves it when people demo their bikes.
That's awesome.
Because
yeah.
they know like, even though you may not buy that bike right then that day, that at least increases the chances of you buying a bike like that in the future.
And they're a shop that, you know, that's what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
should we do some, like, headlines and whatnot?
Sure.
Yeah.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around.
fast as we can into the morning light, pedal just as fast as we can into the daylight, pedal just as fast as we can into the night light.
All right, first up on our calendar, coming this Saturday, July 16th, the Brompton Urban Challenge, which Armando will lose.
But I'm not going to be able to do it.
See, you can't win.
So I told Aaron this, and Aaron, you can edit this out if you need to.
Okay.
I rented a bike from Clever of Brompton to ride for the Brompton Urban Challenge. I am no longer able to do the Urban Challenge. But if anyone needs to have a Brompton to ride, let me know.
Because you've already paid for it?
I've already paid for it. It's paid for. But I haven't registered for the Brompton.
We should get some recompense to you.
So I don't care. I mean, I just want somebody to enjoy themselves on that ride.
Wait, so you rented the bike, but you didn't register for the Urban Challenge?
No, because I found out that I wasn't going to be able to.
But you paid for renting the bike?
Yes, because I figured. I figured they were going to, you know.
Just ride the bike then.
Yeah, but they offered a discount. And like, so like the
oh, because you registered under the Brompton.
Yeah, so the thing they, you know, whatever their penalty fee is for canceling your registration, it's not even as much as I paid for, so.
I see.
So if you know anyone that wants to ride a Brompton during that, let me know.
All right. We will be in touch, I think. I don't know what my team wants to do.
Okay.
Do you know what? This is not for the podcast. I was going to say, do you know what style you got? But we'll talk about that later. It's fine.
I think whatever style fit me.
Okay. Also on that day is Bike Loud PDX's Salem Ride, 7 a.m. at Pioneer, or they meet at Pioneer Courthouse Square at 7 a.m. It's hosted by Livable Streets Action, which is affiliated with Bike Loud PDX. I kind of rambled on about it last week, but I found their Facebook, well, I should say Gerald was kind enough to send me their Facebook site. So we'll have that linked and you can see the actual details for yourself on our website.
August 11th, Pam Nichols Art Show at Western Bike Works in Tigard.
Yes.
Starting at 6 p.m. I've never been there.
You've never been to Tigard?
Well, I've been to Tigard, but not the Western Bike Works. I'm not even really sure where it is.
Yeah. Maybe we should organize a bike ride to Western Bike Works.
Oh, yeah. So one of the things you talked about, the rides you regret, I don't really regret it, but there were some West Side rides that I was interested in doing that I didn't do this year that, you know, it'd be
like
fun.
To do.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to ride on the West Side and see the different things there.
Yeah. I don't get up to the West Hills that much.
Well, once you get over the hills, though.
It's fine.
There we go.
Go ahead with the next
one. August 14th. The Bike Scout Scavenger Hunt.
Yes. So are you doing this one?
I am. I will try to do this one. I'm planning on doing this one unless anything else comes up. I haven't joined any teams or arranged any teams or things like that. I just sort of see what happens because I can't remember what team I was on last year.
You were with the Clinton Diverters, weren't you?
Is that what it was?
I thought so.
Okay.
With Iverson and Phil?
Phil, yeah. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. And
I got to say, I was a little jealous that you were on a team with a Metro Feats.
I'm so happy that he was on that team because I'm a slow rider. And so I wasn't too far behind with him. I mean, he's still, you know, he was still faster than me on the Metro Feats, but at least I wasn't too far behind.
Right on. All right. Headlines from the Pedal Shift Project. They sent us a tweet that says, oh, no big deal, Sprocket Podcast. You're just what's hot, according to a fruit company in Cupertino. Congratulations. And he sent us a screenshot. Did you happen to see this?
I did see that.
Via the Twitter feed, apparently.
So how did they get that?
Apparently iTunes thinks we're like on the what's hot list. I don't know how.
Nice.
I don't know what their.
It was through iTunes, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what their metrics are for measuring this.
Must be looks.
Thank you, Ghost of Steve Jobs. I don't know. Yeah, must be looks. No. Next up, from Medium.com, an article that I'm going to put out here. I'm not going to read the entire thing, but I'm going to put out here for discussion purposes here. Portland's residential off-street parking requirements actually reduce available parking. Today in Portland, new construction in almost any residential neighborhood is required to include one off-street parking space per unit. If you're concerned about being able to find parking near your house, this might sound good. More parking means more parking, right? Not quite. Most new parking requires a new curb cutout, and on many streets, this curb cut takes the place of on-street parking. So here's the thing. What did you think? Did you read this article?
I just read the headline.
Because I stole this from your Twitter feed.
I retweeted this because it was really interesting, and I just read this little part that you just read because, you know, people don't seem to want apartment buildings in their neighborhoods because everybody's going to take the on-street parking that is available.
Right.
And it's super interesting. So for me, I actually live in Hollywood. And on my block, we are the only house on my block that does not have a driveway.
That does not?
We do not.
Okay.
So everyone else has a driveway, and we do not. So we park on the street, which is fine. And going along with that, I'm trying to become I'm probably already a low-car family, whatever you want to call that. I'm trying to be a no-car family, so eventually, hopefully, before...
Yeah, now that your kids are older and, like, exactly. On bikes themselves.
Hopefully, for the end of the... And before school starts, I can become no car. We'll see what happens. You know, because we have... You know, there's Car2Go, and we have a Zipcar in our neighborhood. And lots of options. Transit center, buses, max. Sure. So that's our goal. And I say our goal because I have to make sure it's okay with my kids, too.
Sure.
But I see this, and it's... And people freak out about that stuff. And I get it because we live in Hollywood and people, you know, they park there and they go to the airport and the cars are there for days while they're on their trips. And we have a large hospital in our neighborhood who they didn't have enough parking for their employees. So many employees park in the neighborhood all day long. And
are you talking about Providence?
I wasn't going to name Providence.
Oh, I don't care.
But yes, I am talking to... Well, I didn't want to talk about them because I actually work at a hospital.
I was going to say, wait.
And I didn't want to talk... Are you employed by Providence? Like, I didn't want to sound like I'm trashing this other hospital because I work at a different hospital.
Oh. Well, now it sounds like you're trashing.
If I am trashing them, it's not because I work at another hospital. It's because...
No, it's because
they're taking
the terrible parking
space in front of my house.
So they don't wait. They've got a huge. I'm gonna sidetrack for a second.
Okay.
Because they got a huge parking structure in their complex.
But they also
But they didn't reserve enough for their own employees.
Well, that's over there. So on more closer to where I live, like near Halsey, they have a new business.
Oh yes.
That's not no patients go there. Yeah, no patients go there. It's just this business. And so they have a parking garage there too. But again, not enough for all the employees they have to come. And the hospital I work at offers a discounted TriMet pass, and I think Providence offers it for free. That I may be incorrect, but I don't know how many people take advantage of that.
It sounds like more people should be taking advantage of that, though.
I think so. I think they have a lot of midday or late day meetings because the traffic changes throughout the day.
Okay.
So anyway,
yeah.
I can see how this article.
Well, I don't know, because this seems like more like in defense of more on-street parking, right?
I don't know what it seems like because I didn't read it, so I'm not going to get too
so,
deep
yeah,
into it.
So here's the thing. This seemed like, to me anyways, like it was in defense of on-street parking. And I have a very there's just a little bit of tension I have with that. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, you grew up in the car culture, and the car culture says you have a parking space in front of your house. That's your right. That's what you deserve.
Right.
And you know, that's not really what it is.
Oh, and you should see, like,
oh my gosh, it's hard. It's
people
hard.
Flip
you know,
out
I grew
when,
up that way. It's hard to get out of that.
Yeah,
out of when, that mindset. When,
quote unquote, their parking space is taken by somebody else.
Like, who's that?
Oh, so you live in basically the same neighborhood that I do, or at least near
in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like six. Well, I'm not going to say it on the air. I'm like,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I don't know if it this is in your neighborhood, but in my neighborhood, like, people will put like cones or like leave their trash cans out all week so that they have that space in front of their house open for their car to park in.
We have one neighbor that,
yeah, that's kind of like that.
I don't think it happens so much anymore, but it's not that bad.
I get it. But it's nice to have a parking spot in front of your house. It's nice to be able to have that.
It is yourself. When you know, and it now it doesn't matter so much that the kids are grown, but when you have kids, little kids, or you're carrying a car seat and groceries, you know, you want that kind of stuff. And but not everybody has kids. Not everybody has kids. Not everybody's like
or
that.
Or implies a need for a car
anyway. That's correct.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe if there was like more streetcar type infrastructure or infrastructure of that type where it was more convenient to leave the car at home or leave the car several blocks away, you know, and like take the kids, you know, to daycare.
Or if you had a driveway.
So a driveway would be nice in that sense.
It's so funny because a person that will remain unnamed would always say, "You driveway have a motherfucker." I love that. Because, we don't have a driveway. Why are you complaining?
I want to sort of solicit our listeners. Like, what's your thoughts? What's your thoughts about like should we require? I mean, currently we are requiring a driveway for every home. Should that be a requirement?
Oh, it is? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, according to this article, that's the requirement. It needs to include one off-street parking space, which means a driveway. At least, is that something that we should be doing here in the city? And if not, like, I want to hear why. I personally am not.
Oh, that's like that whole Northwest thing.
On street parking.
Yeah, that whole Northwest thing with the minimum parking requirement thing. I didn't even follow all of that.
Oh, tell me about this.
Oh, I don't even know it all. That was last week. I don't know enough to bring it up.
Okay.
I mean. To talk about it. I can bring it up. I just don't know how to talk about it.
I'll just have to stalk your Twitter feed again.
There we go.
All right. Well, we don't have on-street parking here at the studio. But what we do have...
We got mail. Hey, we got mail. Yeah.
You'll be proud, Brock. How about that transition? Only one piece of mail from Jonas B. in Sweden. I will post the whole mail on our site, but I'm only going to read parts of it. It's a pretty interesting breakdown of how Vision Zero worked over there. Being a Swede, I've seen the results of Vision Zero firsthand and thought I should give you some input on how Vision Zero has affected biking and bike touring. Fatal accidents are almost half in 20 years, declining about 5% per year. When analyzing these fatalities, a few factors stand out. One, vehicle speed is too high, and thus drivers lose control of the vehicle or can't avoid a dangerous situation. Portland. Drunk driving, alcohol kills, and reckless overtaking on two-lane highways. They looked at this, did various things to kind of combat these three big issues. And one thing Jonas brought up was to facilitate opportunity to overtake. The roads are restructured to be three-lane roads with alternating two-lane sides. So every other mile, the road you're going down will have a single lane, and every other mile it will be two lanes. So if you come up on a vehicle you want to overtake, you can wait until the road goes to two lanes, and then you can overtake without risking head-on collision. These two-plus-one-lane roads have saved a lot of lives. However, to accommodate the other lane on two-lane roads, the space is taken from the shoulders, and that's where bike tourers used to ride. These roads are no longer rideable for bikes. They weren't safe, but Now they are no longer an option for bike tours. To wrap up, Vision Zero in Sweden is mostly about rural infrastructure and somewhat car-centric. Bike advocacy groups in the U.S. should be aware of the risk of infrastructure change that can impede bike touring. Lives will be saved, however.
Is that auto driver lives, but not necessarily bike cyclists?
No, I think it takes into account cyclists and pedestrians and auto traffic.
Okay.
Because in the stats that he is quoting earlier that I didn't read online or on the air, it's people killed in traffic. So it doesn't say, it doesn't specify. So I would say that's all inclusive.
I wonder what the speed is on those roads. Because like every other mile, it goes from one lane to two lanes to one lane to.
Yeah.
It
so
seems
there's
like
a few like that in rural Michigan.
Okay.
And
that
on
quick,
the rural
though?
Highways. Every other mile, no. It would be like 10 miles of a two-lane dotted line down the middle, and then 10 lines or like 5 miles maybe, maybe even less. Like
yeah, usually it's like that. Like even going like up to Mount Hood, it's not
of,
even...
Of a right, two right. plus one.
Okay.
And then, you know, back to 10 miles of just a two-lane road.
Huh.
And I've seen bikes on them, and this was back before I was an avid bicyclist, I would always think like, man, that's really dangerous.
Yeah, every other mile seems short.
That seems a lot, yeah. But, you know, it's Sweden. It's not as big. I'm just
that's
saying
true.
It's not
that's
as
true.
Big. Like, you know, I don't know how long the rural roads are. Yeah. I don't know. Got any more to share with us?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I do, but
okay.
I think we need to end.
Yeah, I suppose so. We're at 140. I mean, it'll probably be like an hour and a half, hour and 20 by the time I edit all this down, right?
At least.
All right. Well, let's put this baby to bed. Do you want to read the bold or the non-bolded lines?
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Call or email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter @SprocketPodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Kurt Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K., Shadowfoot,
Catherine Melmagard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Leon, Richard Wazensky, Tim Mooney,
Glenn Kubish, Orange and Purple, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, Andy Bruner,
Dave Knows, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cooley, Peter Butter Jarmat,
Patrick Archain, Sebastian Poole, Marco Lowe,
Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson, Drew the Welder,
Anna Krista, John Wasserman,
Andre Johnson, Shelley and Troy, King of Division,
Josh Zissen, Richard G., Guthrie Straw,
Christopher Barnett, Brandon Shelby, Campsite,
Aaron Green, Mac Nurse David, Catherine Minchin,
Nathan Poulton, Chris Hossen, Rory Close,
Michael Flournoy and Jeremy Kitchen.
Now, brush your teeth.
And go to bed.
Down.
The silence will not be edited out, by the way. I'm leaving it in.
Okay.
For suspense.
Oh, that's good. Suspense.
So in the intro, you're reading the bold lines.
Oh, shoot.
Up until...
Hold on. Okay.
Up until the highlighted portion.
Do I have to say Dude Luna?
You can say whatever you want. I just filled it in. Okay.